This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Cannot get the smile off my face. Life is good. Put a smile on your face. Let us continue, shall we? Jesse, if the communists seek to destabilize society through violence, why would they try to manipulate or deny statistics that show crime rates are high? I don't question either fact, but they do seem to contradict one another. Okay. Well, remember, first of all, the communist lies all the time. That is a rule you have to burn into your memory. The communist lies about everything at all times because he has to. Listen to this. This is Gavin Newsom. Listen to this.
I said in a moment ago, wake up, America. Wake up. You will not have a country if he rigs this election. You will have a president who will be running for a third term. Mark my word. I wasn't exaggerating when I said that I received in the mail a Trump 2028 hat from one of his biggest supporters. These guys are not screwing around.
That's insane. That's an insane statement. Trump's not running in 2028. He's not even allowed to run. Has not even indicated that he wants to run. That's an insane statement. Why say that? Why bother with that? Why do they lie so often? Why lie about everything all the time? What is the purpose for it? There has to be a purpose. Well, let me ask you, have you lied? Of course you have. We all have, sadly. Yeah, it's not like it's I'm proud of it, but we've all told lies. Why did you lie when you lied? What was the reason behind it? Because you felt like you had to cover up the truth, no matter what that truth was. Maybe your husband comes out with some new tight jeans on, but he's kind of cupcaking over the front of him a little bit, and maybe he doesn't look the best, but maybe he's been a little sensitive. Hey, honey, how do these jeans look on me? Just like I'm 20 again, right? Oh, you've never been more handsome, baby. Why did you lie to him? To cover up the truth. That's why communists lie too. They lie all the time because they're destroying everything on purpose. On purpose. They can't let the public know. If the public knew the real reason Democrats did every single thing they did, the Democrat Party would cease to exist tomorrow. They exist in large part because the media is a propaganda network for them and because billionaire communists prop them up. But if the real truth of what communists do and why they do what they do, if the real truth was ever exposed out there, there would be no Democrat Party. What if people knew that we have abortion in America because Democrats wanted to eliminate the black population? That's not my opinion. Go read the words of Sanger herself. The goal was the elimination of the black population. Do you know where most abortions happen in the United States of America? The vast majority of abortions happen? Black neighborhoods. Black neighborhoods and black cities, that's where abortion clinics are set up. Abortion is designed to destroy the black community and kill black people en masse. Abortion has killed far more black people than slavery ever even sniffed at. It is essentially a genocide of black people that has taken place inside the United States of America, and that's the whole reason it started. They don't lead with that, do they? Instead, it's women's rights. Women's reproductive rights. Let's talk about the climate commies. You know what they really want? They want you to die. Did you know that? Look, they've written it down. You can go read all the books. Read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. But it's far from the only resource on it. Statement after statement after statement. They wrote statements to each other. They view human beings not as sacred, created by God, but as a plague on this planet. And their goal is you dying. They don't lead with that, do they? Every now and then, they're old enough and dumb enough to come out and say it. Remember Jane Goodall?
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
She's talking about the death of roughly 6 billion people, if not more. But did you hear how she said it? Did you hear how she said it? How we're a plague. Play her one more time, Chris, before we get to Bill Gates. I want you to listen. You got the elimination of 6 billion people. Now you, I want you to know something. You know that God created you on purpose. Did you know that? I don't care how down you are on yourself or your life. You were created by God on purpose to serve a purpose. You are wonderfully made. A human life, all of it, is beautiful, and we should want more of it, more people on this planet. Do you know that? Now, juxtapose that truth I just told you with this.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
They talk about you like you're a virus, like you're an evil plague that has to be eliminated. That's how they talk about you. They don't lead with that, do they? But if you just listen when they talk, listen to what they say, pretty obvious about it.
It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has 4 factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy.
Stop. That's as far as we need him to go. Did you hear what he said? Hey, something's got to be eliminated. Either the number of people or the services or the energy you consume. So look, I'm giving you a choice. Look, we have to get this CO2 number to zero. Either we need to slaughter a lot of people, or we need to completely destroy all the goods and services in your life so you can't access anything, you don't have air conditioning, you can't drive, you can barely feed yourself, or we have to eliminate this energy stuff, coal plants and nuclear plants and oil. We have to eliminate something's got to be eliminated. But that's not ever how they sell it, is it? They always sell it as the polar bears. They sell it when you're trying to watch a wildlife show and you have that stupid commie David Attenborough, who apparently has to narrate every single one of these freaking wildlife shows, when you just want to see some animals and snakes and lions and tigers and bears and fish and whales and things like that. Instead, you have to hear, and now the polar bears are almost completely eliminated due to climate change. If only everybody would buy an electric car and never leave their home. If you would just starve to death like you should, then we can save the penguins. They never sell it as, I want you to die. They lie about everything at all times. When it comes to crime and destabilizing a society, they are spreading that as fast as they can, but they can't let people know that. Did you know that these George Soros DAs, who are the main cause of all this, these George Soros DAs, you know they don't run on that when they run in their cities? They get a boatload of money, boatload of commie money, and they don't run on opening up the jails. They never run on that. They get elected and open up the jails, but they don't run on opening up the jails. They lie about everything at all times. Then they get the violent crime that destabilizes society while pretending like it's not happening at all. The destabilization comes from fear. It comes from you being afraid to leave your house at night. Create enough fear, destabilize a place, and you will make it ripe for revolution. Let's move on and talk about beans and history next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you can download the show if you miss any part of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Balding Bronco. It's not very nice. Oh, by the way, speaking of not very nice, speaking of balding, you know, sometimes I've told you before, there are times in life as you get older that hurt emotionally. You know, one of the things that's hurting me emotionally, I've told you about the barber mentioning, hey, should we get your eyebrows? You know what happened at the doctor's office today? I'm at the doctor's office. I told you I had to go to the doctor for my kid today. Back there with the doctor. They have some machine contraption thing in there that I'd never seen before. You know, I'm an idiot. I don't know what anything is. And I asked it, what's that? They said, oh, that's for micro-needling and all kinds of, okay. I don't really know what any of these words mean, okay. And you know what he said to me? I kid you not. Hey, you know, maybe you should look into it. It can stimulate hair growth. It's not funny, Chris. It hurts, you know. It hurts, but no, I'm not looking into it, Chris. No, I'm not looking into it. I refuse. Anyway, Balding Bronco, is there any situation where beans are acceptable in food? Chili, baked beans as a side, refried beans, his name's Dan. No, beans are disgusting. If you want to, the only, I can't stress this enough, only acceptable form of bean is maybe a reasonable amount of refried beans on a nacho. Now, when I say reasonable amount, I have to stress this because nobody knows how to make nachos. People think, this has always bothered me. You've heard me rant on this before. When a restaurant gets an order for nachos, the kitchen interprets that as a, quote, easy thing to make and a throwaway meal. So what do? They all do it. What do? They take a gigantic pile of chips and they chuck them on a plate. And then they just have a big scooper back there. There's big scoop of this and right there on it. And then a big scoop of this and right there on it. Just no thought, no care in the world. And so you get your plate of nachos out and one chip has 12 pounds of green beans and no cheese. The next two chips over have all the cheese. There's no cheese on anything else. Start taking care of the nachos. That's one. Two. Anytime you get refried beans on a nacho, they overdo it. I am okay with a little smidge of refried bean here or a little smidge there. The refried beans are not the star of the nacho. What, Chris? What? What about refried beans on a taco? Not for me, but I'm not going to kill you on it. I'm not going to kill you on it. I could do it. Yeah, if you can eat it on a nacho, you can eat it on a taco. Not personally my thing. I get it. But again, within reason. Within reason. If I bite into the taco and I've got refried bean dripping down my chin like I'm Lindsey Graham, I'm going to be upset. What, Chris? What? It's fine. Jesse, the school year is about to begin. I've been teaching for over 20 years in public education. Which American history lesson, if you could pick just one, should all elementary students know? Brother, you're the history teacher. I do think it's cool, though, that history people ask me that stuff. No, I'm just joking. His name's Dan. I'm just joking. I think it's cool you ask me that stuff. If I had to pick just one, the Battle of Long Island. I would say the Battle of Long Island, actually. Did you just say, what's that, Chris? You don't know. Oh, my gosh. You seriously don't know what the Battle of Long Island is? Okay, here's what I'm going to do. After I'm done doing the Andersonville history, which I think will only be one show, probably 1 hour, I might get to it next week. I'll try to. I got to try to finish up my research this weekend. I have kids' sports this weekend, so I might not be able to get to enough of it. But after Andersonville, I will tell you the story of the Battle of Long Island. No, it wasn't between the Italians and Jews. What's wrong with it? Chris, this is a Revolutionary War battle. What the? I get so frustrated sometimes with him. No, it was here. I'll give you one of the highlights. One of the highlights of it. George Washington was outnumbered. He did not have replacement troops the way the British had replacement troops. He had to get his men out of this situation. He had to escape. That was the idea. And he didn't have time to escape. They were up against the water. The British were coming. And the thickest, densest fog out of nowhere descends onto the area. The British can't see. They don't know where he is. They can't come at him in the fog. He starts shuttling people across the water while the fog is there, like some kind of a miracle. When he gets him across, the fog lifts. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, God was clearly, it's the parting of the Red Sea, right? God got him across. God got him out of there. And that, look, it's a cool story anyway. I'll tell you the story of the Battle of Long Island, but it's one of those ones that, I realize it's fairly obscure. That moron Chris didn't even know what it was. A lot of people, unless you're a Revolutionary War nut, a lot of people don't know about the Battle of Long Island. You know, they know Lexington and Concord or some of these things. They know the kind of the big names, Cornwallis and things like that. But it's a really, really cool story that you said elementary school kids will be wowed by. You don't have to fluff it up. Tell the story honestly. It's really cool. And the reason I like it for kids is there's such a wow factor for how our country was created. Like, it was just so many things. We should not have won. We should not have what we have today, but we do. And I think it's a cool thing to teach kids. All right. Let's talk about why Democrat women are ugly. The cost of health care. Should lobbying be illegal? Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Yeah! It is so exciting to be here. Let's dig into some more of these questions. There are so many freaking good ones coming. We'll talk about Democrats benefiting from Trump's policies. We have to get to the cost of health care, lobbying. Let's do this one first. Jesse, I love your show, especially your military history segments. Question about communist women. Why are most communist/Democrat women not attractive? Is there a link between their rejection from men in their younger years? Just curious why they seem to be lonely, unattractive women. All right. So there are a couple of different things that happen here. Remember that it's about destruction of everything. Everything good. Everything beautiful. It's not just destruction of capitalism or destruction of a business or of the Boy Scouts or of Hollywood or the FBI. It's everything. It is hard for a normal person to understand how the communist hates everything. It's hard for a normal person to understand why a communist would wreck certain things. Why would they go here? Why would they go there? Why would they infiltrate this? What? Because you don't look at the world the way a communist looks at the world. A communist looks at the world as all the institutions, everything established, governments, religions, family itself, beauty, it's all evil because everyone doesn't have it. And so what we need to do is to tear it all down. If you have a house, I want to tear it down. If you are hot, I want to make you ugly. If you are successful, I want to make you poor. If you have a family, I want to break it up. If you don't think in evil terms like that, and you can't because you're not the devil. Communism is of the devil. It's about destroying everything, including women's beauty, where normal people don't, what normal people oftentimes do not get is women, communist women, once they have been sucked into that demonic religion, will destroy their own beauty on purpose. On purpose. Not accidental. You know, I'm going to say something. It's going to sound really freaking hokey, but it's true. All women are beautiful. Did you know that? All women are. Genuinely. At their core. All women are beautiful. Doesn't matter. Tall, short, maybe you're a little chunky, maybe you're too skinny, black, white, Indian, not Italians. But no, I'm kidding. All women are beautiful. They all are. And have the ability to be beautiful. Beautiful smile. A beautiful smile from a woman, it's the most beautiful thing on her. Carries the room. Carries the room. But a communist woman, anything beautiful about her, in an effort to become more part of the group, will destroy her own beauty on purpose. You look at these feminist rallies and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, who let the feral pigs out into the streets? And what, Chris, it's fine. And you think to yourself, why are they all so ugly? I have news for you. There are a lot of women in there that could be beautiful. They couldn't show up at a feminist rally beautiful. You can't show up and be the only beautiful feminist there. They'll hate your guts for it. So you buzz your head down and you start sticking a bunch of piercings in your face and get the ugliest possible tattoos you can. You put on man jeans. You make sure you smell. You don't shave your armpits. You ugly yourself up. Look, even the most beautiful woman in the world, whoever you think she may be, can be ugly with a bit of effort. Trust me, she can be. It's just the way it is. We all can be. They do it on purpose, and it's so insanely sad. I say it's insanely sad because I hate that so many women who succumb, well, every woman who succumbs to it, I hate that they're all so miserable. And will always be until they choose, if they choose, many never do, if they choose to leave the religion, it will be like a weight off of their shoulders. I've told you about Jen Gilardi before, that former commie who is now completely over to our side. And that's how she describes it, like this gigantic burden that was always weighing her down with guilt and shame lifted off of her shoulders, says she feels free now. And I want that for everybody, men and women, but it really saddens me. Like these, look, I'm going to make fun of her, but this is Dome's stepdaughter, Kamala Harris's stepdaughter. Listen to this. She looks like Weird Al, and listen to her.
I think everything with the environment is really getting to me. And it is one, I experience a lot of climate anxiety, like a lot of us do. It's not funny. It's just like, it's one of those things. It's not funny, but you just like nervous laugh about it because it's scary. It is. It's all of these things are happening. And like, what besides the small things we can do and pushing for change and fighting and protesting, and it's really hard not to sit in those moments where it just feels so heavy.
Isn't that sad? And look, it is heavy.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
I'm kidding. But isn't that sad that that's a young lady? That young lady could be beautiful, of course. I'm not saying she has to be your type or my type, but she could be a pretty girl. Just put a smile on your face. It makes you prettier anyway. She could be pretty, happy, content. Instead, she's putting up internet videos talking about how much climate change is essentially destroying her. Isn't that sad? That's terrible. Terrible. All right. Jesse, I'm curious what your take is on the rising cost of healthcare. I'm 25 years old. I work in the medical field, but suffer from a variety of health conditions that are difficult to manage and often result in frequent hospital visits and medical bills. managing health conditions is stressful enough, as is without worrying about whether or not you can afford medication. Do you think our healthcare system needs to be reformed? If so, how? Feel free to say my name. Her name is Kate. Okay, first of all, I am sorry, not just to Kate, but to anybody who suffers from ongoing medical things. This is something that I have experience with in my own, not my personal life, but people close to me go through this. And it's just, if you don't go through it or don't have someone going through it, you don't realize the constant maintenance. You're constantly getting sick. You're constantly spending a fortune. I won't go into the details of who it was. Just had a little vacation, little mini, like extended weekend vacation ruined because she ate something. There was something in it she's hyper allergic to, celiac disease. The restaurant didn't tell her. It didn't ruin an hour. She spent the next 2 days vomiting in her hotel room. I mean, and that's just like that kind of stuff. Like how many days, weekends, vacations, work days, it's soul sucking. And so for people that go through that, I am sorry. I really genuinely am. That freaking sucks. And I'll tell you what, we'll dig into the cost of healthcare, why it is so expensive, maybe some ways we can fix it. We'll dig into that in a moment. Before we dig into that, you understand how turned off I am by so much of the medical community now. Not all of it, of course, but during COVID, it really opened my eyes to how many doctors and medical institutions in this country are completely captured. And so I started seeking out other things. And that is when, you remember, I discovered Chalk during COVID. My goal now, when it comes to doctors and medicine, is to never have to go. I know that's not realistic. I will have to go. But my goal is to avoid problems. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. I've taken one for over 3 years. I will never stop. My blood work is finally immaculate. My energy, through the roof. My mood might be the best part of it. When that fog in your mind lifts, when you get your levels back to where they need to be, you're so much happier. You're just so much happier. You feel better all the time. They have natural herbal supplements for everybody, whatever you're looking for. If you want a pre-workout, they have Chad Mode. You want a male vitality stack, that's what I take. They have it. Ladies, female vitality stack for you. Go find out what Chalk can do for you. I'm not talking about supplements. I'm talking about making your whole life better. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com/Jesse. Chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email us during the show. We are live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We still have to talk about so many wonderful things. Jesse, why is lobbying legal? If I take more than a pen from a potential vendor, it's considered a conflict of interest. Okay? So this is one of those things that people on the right will talk about and complain about. And it's a very understandable thing that people do complain about it, lobbying. In fact, you've probably heard, and I know you've heard, maybe you've said it yourself, why don't we ban lobbying? Let's ban lobbying. They should ban lobbying. Let me go ahead and be Daddy Jesse and burst your bubble on a couple things. First, the right to bring your grievances to Congress is right there in the Bill of Rights. It is in the Bill of Rights. It is. Now, okay, pause for a second. You, what do you want your government to do? What's something you're hot on right now? Maybe you want term limits or more deportations, or you want your taxes to go down, or you want abortion banned, or whatever it is. Have you ever brought your desires to an elected official? Local, state, federal? I hope you have. I hope you've at least fired off an email or something. I hope you have. Well, what do you think that was? Is that not lobbying? I know the corruption. I'm going to get to it in a minute, but is that not lobbying? Well, no, that's just me. Okay. You've never gathered some friends up and had them all send an email? You understand that's one of the most effective forms of making changes, especially locally and in your state. Your city councilman doesn't get many emails. Your state rep, your state senator, they don't get many emails. If you could gather up 10 of your friends, change the wording, bombard your state rep with emails about some specific issue, I bet you'll get a response, if not action. Have you done that? Even if you haven't done that, no judgment. Even if you haven't done that, what would you call that? That's lobbying. Now, I hate lobbyists, interests, spending a fortune, corporate interests, foreign interests, you name it. I hate the thought that there is any entity, local, foreign, whatever, that will cobble together a large quantity of money and go lobby our government for what essentially amounts to handouts. That's what they're all lobbying for. Who's the biggest what's the biggest lobbying arm? Pharma. Big Pharma. Why does Big Pharma spend so much money on lobbying Congress? Because they still want gigantic quantities of your money handed out to them. That's horrible. That's corrupt. But who's the bad guy in that situation? If I'm a Big Pharma rep, which I am not, as you well know, if I'm a Big Pharma rep, Jesse Pharma, and I want some more cheddar cheese from the American taxpayer. I want Congress to write me a $10 million check for my new drug, the anti-Chris drug. If I want $10 million from Congress to create the anti-Chris drug, and I go and I spend a fortune lobbying 30 different congressmen to sponsor a bill so I can get some anti-Chris drug money, and those 30 congressmen sponsor that bill because I lobbied them, because I gave them campaign cash, am I the bad guy in that situation? You can argue maybe it's a little dirty. You can argue maybe it's unethical. But am I the bad guy in that situation? Or is it the dirty congressman who took money to put something in a bill to hand out to the guy who lobbied for it? You can hate lobbying. And you can hate these big money interests. And I do, by the way. I hate it. I hate this big money lobbying. I hate that our politicians are so easily bought. You can hate it, and I do, but it is in the Bill of Rights, one. And two, it is the congressman who is at fault. It is the one who writes and signs on to all this corrupt legislation. They are the ones at fault. The United States of America, remember, at any level of government, in your town, in your county, in your state, and in your country, there is a treasury. That pot gets bigger as you go up the chain. I'm here in Houston. Houston has a treasury, a large one. Texas has an even bigger one. The United States of America has an even bigger one. And whenever you have a big pot of money, it's like a suitcase full of cash sitting on the sidewalk. People are going to look at it, and they're going to try to figure out how to stick their dirty, greasy fingers in it. That is inevitable. The treasury of the United States of America is huge, and countries and companies are going to spend a fortune to get access to that treasury. It is your congressman who allows them. It is your senator who allows them and encourages them. Mitch McConnell, look, we can point to just Democrats, but it's not true. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, these types, they're as bought and paid for politicians as exist on the planet. Completely owned by Washington big money interests of various kinds. Now, shouldn't we change that by changing them? This all comes back to not the lobbyist, not the company that you hate, not the country you hate. This all comes back to the voter. If Lindsey Graham It's thinking about doing yet another gigantic unpaid-for handout to the military-industrial complex, and you don't like that. Well, Lindsey Graham should be afraid. He should be afraid of losing his seat in the Senate. He should have to make a decision. Well, I could hand this money out, but then I'm going to lose my seat. If our senators and congressmen are unafraid, it's our fault. Not the lobbyists' fault. We're assigning blame to the wrong entity. Now, we're also treating pain the wrong way. We either don't treat it, which is terrible too. I'll ignore it. I'll be fine. Or we take things to mask it. That's all you're doing. You realize that. As you liquefy your kidneys and reach for that bottle again, you're just masking it. It's not fixing anything. What if you could fix your back pain? What about headaches? You get them a lot? Hand pain, foot pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, muscle pain. This is all inflammation. Your body knows there's inflammation there. Your body's trying to fight against it. It doesn't have all the tools it needs. That's why you're still in pain. Relief Factor is the tool. It is the weapon that will go after the root of the problem and help your body fight that inflammation. And it's 100% drug-free. Which we should all strive to be today. 100% drug-free. Go to ReliefFactor.com. 3 weeks of Relief Factor. It's a daily supplement. 3 weeks is $19.95. Order 3 weeks of it. Take it every day for 3 weeks. Tell me how you feel. Call and order more when you feel better, because you will. 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com. All right. Why aren't Democrats happier that they're benefiting from Trump's policies? Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.